She had an emergency. After all, she is a personal injury lawyer.
Yeah, well, I had an emergency, too.
Ooh, in the shower, he twisted his ankle.
Oh, yeah? What, reaching for a loofah?
I thought Sarita might know a doctor. Maybe prescribe plenty of bed rest on our all-expense-paid vacation to some sun-drenched tropical paradise.
Now you want free medical advice, huh? Man, you are so cheap. You didn't even want to buy that raffle ticket.
Until I heard this wee small voice whisper in my ear.
Try me.
As I remember it, it was some little wise guy who was whining, I sold all my tickets. Could you buy my last one, please?
That kid was a hell of a salesman.
That kid was a huckster.
Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Hey, Tim, it's going pretty good. How about yourself? How's the weather out there?
Can't complain out here in the state of North Carolina. It's a little bit misty, not a heavy rain, but we're expected to go up into the mid-60s by the weekend with a lot of rain coming. In fact, they said on the weather that we are 2 inches above what we normally get
for this
time of year. But last year we were kind of in a drought. We were, I think, 8 or 9 inches below what we should have had. They had to put watering restrictions on.
Yeah,
they asked for you to do watering restrictions. But other than that, it's probably mid-40s here today. We have had cold weather, but life is good out here.
Nice. Well, out here in the state of Chicago, we're actually getting into the mid-30s. Last week, it was quite brutal, if anyone's listening from the area. It was quite brutal. We had like 5-6 inches of snow dependent. And all last week, it was just cold. It was below freezing, below zero. Wind chills were like 30 below. One of our cars froze up outside, couldn't get it started, literally could not push it in until we did some finagling. It took like a whole day to thaw with the heater underneath. So, yeah, we had a little bit of fun. But now, mid-30s, got rain coming for the next couple of days. And then they say in the 40s and then probably 50s coming like the first week of February, first and second week of February. So, wonderful springtime weather in the middle of winter here.
But is the winter life.
Exactly. I'll take it. I'm done. I had my fill for the snow. For my age, I'm one is good enough, right?
Correct. I'm with you on that, Mark.
All right. How about you say we get into it, huh? Let's get into the show.
Let's do it.
All right. So anyways, Tim and I are always glad that you're joining us. And this is show number 65. We hope you enjoyed the last show covering Teresa. So as we always say, sit back, relax, grab a beverage. I don't have anything today. And enjoy the Voice of Miami podcast covering Season 3, Episode 17, The Afternoon Plane. And this episode is written by David Jackson, and he also directed it. The original air date is February 20th, 1987, and it is the 61st episode overall.
And Mark, our plot summary for this episode is, a vacation at Tubbs wins in a contest turns out to be a ploy by Orlando Calderon to get him out of Miami so that the drug lord might exact his revenge.
And the guest stars and the co-stars. First up in the guest star category, we've got Maria McDonald as Alicia Austin. We covered Maria's bio in season one episode, The Great McCarthy. She makes a return, even as the same name, I believe.
Could be. And next up, Mark, we have John Varea as Ruben Olivo. John made his acting debut in The Afternoon Plane. His first movie appearance was in 1990's Bad Influence. Other notable appearances include Postcards from the Edge, Selena, Three Strikes, Price of Glory, Collateral Damage, The Guardian, Criminal Minds, Burn Notice, Assumed Killer, which was his most recent film, and Bloodline, most recent TV appearance. Varea married and divorced actress Gabrielle Anwar. They have two children, son Hugo and daughter Paisley.
Next up, we've got Vincent Philip D'Onofrio as Leon Wolf. He was born June 30th, 1959 in Brooklyn, New York, and he's an American actor. He made his TV debut in this episode. D'Onofrio began his career on the stage, appearing in several productions of the American, Stanislavski Theater in 1984. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I figure a Pole can't say a Polish name. Then he moved on to films. His debut appearance was in 1983's First Turn On, but it was his role as Private Leonard Gomer Pyle Lawrence in Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket that launched his career into the national scene. Other notable appearances include Mystic Pizza, The Blood of Heroes, Naked Tango, JFK, Mr. Wonderful, among others, and I do believe he was in Men in Black, the first one. His TV appearances include Homicide, Life on the Street, Law and Order, Criminal Intent, Emerald City, and most recently in 2023's Echo. D'Onofrio was in a relationship with actress Greta Scacchi, and they have a daughter. He later married Dutch-born model and photographer Karen Vanderdonk, and they have two sons.
Next, we have Antoine Pagan as Javier Calderon. Not much could be found on his personal life, but here are some of his filmography. His first film was The Warriors, great movie. We're Fighting Back, his first TV. The Clairvoyant, Dirty Dancing, True Blue, Law and Order, SVU, and Criminal Intent, The Sopranos, among many other shows.
And going back to Maria McDonald, I'm taking a look at The Great McCarthy. Her name would be Vanessa in that episode. Next up, we've got Jonathan Alberto Leguizamo as Orlando Calderon. We covered John's bio in the season 2 episode, Sons and Lovers, where he first appeared as Orlando.
And Mark, our last guest star is Margaret Avery as Sally Cordova. Born January 20th, 1944 in Mangum, Oklahoma, she's an American actress who began her career in the 1972 TV movie Something Evil, followed by roles in Marcus Welby, M.D., Sanford and Son, The Rookies, Harry O., the TV movies The Wrath of Heaven, and For Us the Living, then Medgar Evers' Story, among many others. She played a small role in Magnum Force. Her most recent movie appearance was 2022's We Are Gathered Here Today. Avery married Robert Gordon Hunt in 1974 until their divorce in 1980. They have one daughter. And just before we move on, I got to say this. 7.62 millimeter full metal jacket. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And our co-stars, we've got John Archie as Jacques, Jackson Davis as shopkeeper, and Clarence Thomas as chief of police. And some Miami Vice in the news. This really isn't news. It's kind of like a blast from the past. On January 19th, 1977, a rare snow event occurred in Central and South Florida. About 1 to 3 inches of snow fell on parts of Central Florida, and even Miami had some flurries. Kind of coincides with the cool weather they had this past week. And by cool, yes, I think it was like upper 50s, lower 60s. Mm-hmm. No, they suffer. They suffer.
Comparatively, yes. And then we have a little bit of something about actor Vincent D'Onofrio. He stars as Denton in the American heist comedy film Lift, which was released on Netflix on January 12th, 2024.
All right, Tim, what do you say we get into the discussion for Afternoon Plane?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. We are hopefully in Miami somewhere, we're thinking, and it's not a church. It's a wedding for somebody. Somebody at Crockett Tubbs knows, but it's not a church. I'm thinking maybe it's an art gallery because we open to some silhouette of some lady with some glowing eyes or something, and you see a bunch of art stuff around. So we're assuming it's just an art gallery that they're holding their wedding in. So they go through the ceremony, and then I guess in the reception portion of it, Tubbs is boasting that he won a week's all-expense-paid vacation to an island retreat. And his girlfriend, Alicia, here is saying he twisted his ankle in the shower. And the only other vice person we have showing up is Crockett. And Crockett's kind of like Cry Me a River, right? His new girlfriend, moving on already from Teresa, we don't know how far this is along. A couple months, we don't know. He says his new girlfriend's a personal injury attorney or something like that, and she had to cancel going to the wedding with him last minute.
Yes.
But Tubbs here asks a question regarding his leg injury. Can somebody recommend a good doctor? And it sounded like, can Teresa recommend a good doctor? because it didn't, Crockett didn't say the name of his attorney girlfriend, but the only name I could pick up was Teresa. I don't know.
Well, that would be in our opening clip that you just did.
Yeah, it was not clear, but that was the only connection I could make, since he knew a doctor, even though she's no longer a doctor anymore. It was a
things that make you go,
Exactly. So anyway, he's complaining about he has to go on this trip, and you know, he felt sorry for this kid selling his last ticket and all that. So, and that's all we see of Crockett or anybody. The rest is just Tubbs for the rest of the episode. So I'm assuming the next day, or maybe the next couple days or whatever, they're arriving at the small island of St. Gerard. And Tubbs immediately, while he's kind of smitten with Alicia here, he immediately sees from a distance convicted murderer Leon Wolfe.
I don't like the name Lawrence. Only faggots and sailors are called Lawrence. From now on, you're Gomer Pyle.
Sir, yes, sir.
Who claims to, Leon Wolfe here, claims to have been pardoned. And he's on vacation, just like Tubbs. And then Tubbs here is explaining to his girlfriend that he was convicted and sentenced to murder one. And he's wondering who paid off his debt for this or got him out.
Got him out, right?
You left it at home.
You're too good a cop. You're not going to carry your gun out of your jurisdiction. Hope you're not hurt.
Woof.
Rico.
Relax, Tubbs.
Who is this guy, Rico?
Someone who should be in the joint. Someone who was in the joint for murder one.
Well, he ought to know, lady. He wrote my ticket.
Yeah, last year, one way.
Hey, man, I've been pardoned. A regular miracle.
So anyway, now the couple are going to start wanting to enjoy themselves, and Alicia is determined that she and Tubbs will do that, but Tubbs is more concerned about Wolf, and he wants to stop by the local police and fill them in so they know what's up, as he has no jurisdiction on the island. They meet with the police chief, who will get confirmation of Wolf's parole in a few days. But because there's no phone service on the island or radio either, he and his deputy, Ruben Olivo, are the only law enforcement on the island. Tubbs says to keep him informed and tell the chief where he's staying. The chief already knows where he's staying because it's the only place of lodging. And then we have a montage of Tubbs and Alicia trying to enjoy the stay. And after some fun, Tubbs walks outside and sees the same kid who sold him the raffle ticket. He then hears him in the lobby talking to the hotel clerk about Javier Calderon's arrival and to let Wolf know this. Tubbs strong arms the clerk and if Javier's related to Orlando Calderon. Turns out they're cousins, and Orlando is coming in on the next plane later that day, hence the afternoon plane. Tubbs lets Alicia know what's up and wants to get her off the island to avoid a confrontation with Orlando, after revealing to her how the Calderons killed his brother, his woman, who was Calderon, Orlando's sister, and their son together. And Alicia wasn't, she's taken back by that, and she really wasn't happy that he didn't fill her in on that.
Right, right. I think she asked something like, was she your lover or was she your wife or something like that? But they never got married or anything like that. She sprung this on him.
Mm-hmm.
Calderon's return, she sprung on him. He didn't even know he had a kid, so... But we've got to set the thing. This whole thing now, starting today, this whole episode is one day, more or less. They get there, do their thing at night, and then this, we're assuming this is the morning, and then the whole rest of the episode is the whole day. So a couple of hours. Anyway, Tubbs and Alicia, after this encounter at the hotel here, they go to the quote-unquote airstrip, which is basically just like a shed. And this dude has an air radio to call out on aircraft that are coming in and out. And the worker there explains the flight, basically the coming and goings of flights in and flights out, more, I should say, the lack of. And then Tubbs pays him to call out to any planes in the area. This guy, you know, calls a, you know, blind response, you know, and nobody's answering to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tubbs says, just keep me informed, keep trying and let me know. And the guy's like, yeah, okay. And as soon as Tubbs walks away, the guy turns off the radio. Ain't nobody coming around here. So anyway, later on, we see Xavier and Wolf. I'm sorry, not Xavier, Javier and Wolf. They head to the airport but not before the chief of police sees them, and he lets them know that he's heading off the island and that the cop is theirs, meaning Tubbs. And then Javier drops some cash on the ground and as a thanks from Orlando, and this cop is bought and sold just like everybody else on the island. I'm getting out of here. Give me some money. I'm gone. So now we're at a marina, or I don't know if it was a marina or a bar. Or a bar attached to a marina.
That's what it was, a bar attached to a marina.
Okay. So he comes up to a group of guys, and he asks about chartering a boat to, I think, the Bahamas or something. And then Alicia says, to Miami. And then nobody's really inclined to help him except one of the men, Jacques. But he's kind of like silenced by another guy, kind of like push his shoulder to sit down. And then Tubbs just says, hey, whatever, I'm going to leave. And then this guy who put his arm on Jacques says, have some respect for Calderon's money. So obviously we know who is bought by Calderon.
Gentlemen, I'm looking for a boat to charter. I got plenty of cash I can pay now.
Where you want to go?
To the Bahamas.
Miami.
You don't work on Sundays. We'd rather watch a certain plane come in.
How about you? Yeah, thanks. I have a good day.
Have some respect for Calderon's money. We ain't gonna never have it no better. Understand?
So now Tubbs goes back to see the Popo, and the only one that was there is Ruben, and he's asking for help, and he's told that Calderon, Esteban, Francisco, however they refer to him as, used to run coke on through the island on the way to New York. But since he was killed, all that big money is dried up, and islands are not about to help the cop that caused it, had him, you know, involved in his death, basically.
This was the first thing, and we'll go over it later. Tubbs didn't kill him.
No, he did not.
I mean, he was involved, obviously, being a cop, but he didn't kill him. But we'll go into that later. Right.
Yes. Ruben is intent on challenging Calderon himself, being all young and macho. Tubbs asks for a gun for protection, and he doesn't. No dice from Ruben. Tubbs wants Alicia to leave the island for the safety before Orlando arrives, but she refuses to leave his side.
I believe guns were illegal on the island.
Yes, that's what they said. That's what they claim.
Right.
Illegal for the law-abiding citizens.
Oh, yeah. Where else would it happen? Anyways, now we're at Alicia. She purchases two plane tickets on the next plane out, which is obviously the one that Orlando's coming in on. While Tubbs is pretty much wandering throughout the town, he enters pretty much a general store here and finds a friend from New York named Sally Cordova, who now lives on the island. They have a quick conversation. I think he asks her for, you know, if she has a gun. She says no. It's illegal or something like that. And then she says she'll talk to him later. So he leaves. And now we're back at the police station. Ruben pretty much starts to pack heat here and to meet and deal with Orlando himself. And I first think he's going to meet with Wolf and take care of them as too. So now we're at the marina on one of the boats. Tubbs goes to see Jacques again. He was the man that was pretty much silenced before. And he again pretty much refuses to help him just before the other fishermen or whoever arrive, and kind of, you know, one dude cracks his knuckles, kind of, you know, playing a big man. But this guy, Jacques, says, you know, I'm not a militant. I'm not a warrior. I'm not a soldier. What are we supposed to do against Orlando, you know? So anyway, Tubbs leaves, doesn't get anywhere. And then Ruben then leaves the police station here and he heads for the airstrip. So again, Ruben pretty much packs heat and heads for the airstrip. But while Sally is packing at her hotel to leave the island, Ruben arrives before going to the airstrip, determined to get Orlando. But Sally infers to him or tells him that Tubbs is the only one who can stop Calderon. Then a jealous Ruben, he storms out and heads for the airstrip. She basically gives him a rundown of who Tubbs is to her. And it's obvious here that Sally and Ruben are kind of an item. I think there were some pictures on one of the dressers or something like that. So they have some interest, and then he maybe is jealous or something. Who knows? But he storms out. He heads for airstrip. And then shortly while, a short while later, Tubbs, he comes in to see Sally while she's packing as well. And then she tells him that, you know, she went from the ghetto to paradise thanks to Calderon, the father of Calderon, and she's in his debt. And Tubbs lets her know that she's paying the debt due to Calderon's murdering Tubbs' brother. And then this is where Tubbs says, you know, me killing him. This is the second inference that Tubbs says that he killed, or someone thinks Tubbs killed, or the father or Calderon, and he didn't. It was Crockett. Crockett was the one who opened fire at the pool, and then he fell in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sally confirms that Reuben is her boyfriend, and then he went to the airstrip to tag out Wolf and Javier.
Why not?
Calderon.
Orlando and Punk.
Punk?
His father. He got me out of New York. I would have died there if he hadn't. I owed him!
You paid the debt. That bastard murdered my brother.
And then you killed him.
Yes!
See, why did he confirm that he killed him when he didn't?
Was this, I don't know.
Like a continuity error in the notes from, what was it, season one when he was killed by Crockett? I mean, or was he playing it up? I don't know. I'm kind of
he could have been playing it up that, in general, you killed him, meaning the OCB team, but we don't know that. It's going to remain really unanswered.
Right.
It's one of the mysteries of this episode. So anyway, at the airstrip, Reuben is doing his best Rambo impression. However, Wolf and Javier shoot him dead when he gets there and then drag his body into the brush, all under the watchful eye of Tubbs. Then Alicia goes to see Sally at the hotel, who explains to her Tubbs has no time to babysit her when he has three killers after him. In a church, Tubbs pleads for help from the congregation, but gets nowhere as they want him dead too. The one man calls the others out for being cowardly and bowing to the influence of Calderon. Again, everybody's bought and paid for, or they were when Calderon's money was running flush through there.
Right. Neither bought and paid for, or they're just in fear, right? The hammer coming down on them.
Yep. Alicia and Sally then head for the airport while Tubbs, yeah, he does walk aimlessly through the town, vainly trying to get a gun or some help. Jacques finally shows up and gives Tubbs a shotgun with some shells, and then he just beats feet. Again, guns are illegal, except for the fisherman. Tubbs really knows he's in a world of shit. Dude, he almost shanks a hotel clerk. He already pieces together the very few and very small pieces of Calderon.
I mean, everything was pretty evident from the get-go, but now he's really getting the whole piece of the pie, ducks in a row type of thing.
That he was set up, that this was nothing but a setup.
And it's wise that he wants Alicia to leave because, you know, he doesn't want to protect her and have to deal with these schmucks. So now, kind of like an old Western, the townsfolk are pretty much scattered when Orlando's plane lands. And this is where Alicia and Sally, they're about to board his plane when they're told they wait for refueling. Orlando meets them, and as well as Xavier and Wolf, and then he's got some smart aleck comments for the ladies as they're waiting. But he doesn't really do nothing. I'm surprised at this. He just lets them go nonchalantly. I mean, I'm sure he would have known these women were with Tubbs or had something to do with it. Why didn't they take
him? Oh, absolutely.
Why weren't they taken hostage? He just said something. I forgot what he said, and then he goes about his business. The three of them start walking the town with the guns at the ready. I mean, they were pretty much, you know, like, say hello to my little friend, that type. And they were holding them exactly like that, you know. Tubbs is sidling around, and then he sees a truck, and he hotwires it, and he uses it as it creeps along, and he's walking along it for a little bit of cover. And then they open fire on it. And then when shots are fired, they hear it at the airstrip. Alicia, she hightails it back into town. Tubbs finally goes down Javier, but he can't get Javier's weapon away from him as the other two start opening up fire on him. and they prevent him from getting Javier's gun. After a bit of running around hiding, Alicia gets Javier's gun, and while Tubbs and two are further away, she kind of aimlessly tries to figure out this gun. She then, at the hotel, sees Wolf, guns him down, but then when Orlando comes out of the hotel, they're both kind of pointing at each other, and then she fires, but her gun is empty. Ooh, dang, maybe I should have made sure it had more bullets, right? So now he takes her hostage, finally. You should have done that from the get-go, dingus, but
yes,
I guess we could have had that in play all along. Tubbs finally has Orlando in his sights. Alicia starts screaming. I think Orlando kind of pops off a few rounds. It hits one of the pillars there that Tubbs is hiding behind. And then Orlando eggs him on. Alicia jabs him in the side, and then she lunges away to get away from him so Tubbs can pop him one. But Orlando pops her off while she's falling away. And then while he's doing that, this is where Tubbs opens fire on Orlando, killing him. Just boop, gets him right away. And then Tubbs picks up Alicia. She's still alive, carries her into the hotel. End scene and episode.
Empty? I told you we'd meet again, didn't I? Come on, drop it. Drop it! Is that how you like your women? Brave and stupid? Guess what happens next? Come on, cop, come on and play! Now we go!
Lisa! The reviews for this, IMDb gives this a 6.9. Tim, what do you say?
You know, originally I wrote in here that I was going to give it a higher rating, but after we're doing this review now, I'm going to agree with that 6.9. I was going to give it originally a little bit higher rating, maybe a 7.2, only for the mere intensity surrounding what was going to be Alicia's fate. Was she going to live? Was she going to die? Otherwise, this is another Tubbs-centric episode, save for the parents of Sonny in the beginning. Tubbs is out on his own with Alicia, his girlfriend, on an island of St. Gerard. It's a simple storyline involving Tubbs being set up when he went on vacation to the island, and put that in quotes. He finds out that he's been set up by Orlando Calderon, who is arriving on an afternoon plane to exact revenge on Tubbs for killing his father. And he's already said it, who was actually killed by Sonny. The entire island was bought and paid for by Calderon years ago, and the money dried up when he died. Hence, no cooperation from the islanders for Tubbs. What was really campy about this episode was Wolf and Javier Calderon characters. They could have taken Tubbs out, but it was all about the grand entrance of Orlando, who had to do the deed himself. Also, Ruben trying to be the big man to impress Sally. What I found comical was that Alicia, who probably knew nothing about automatic weapons, somehow figured it out and killed Leon. I don't know if it was a MAC-10 or whatever it was, but how do you just pick it up and you figure it out, and you're in a fight for your life, so maybe you would do. To me, the final scene was like the gunfight at the OK Corral. Finally, Calderon clan is wiped out. Maybe this is their last appearance for the series. We'll see.
Tim, let me see my review. What do I think here? What do I think?
That's right, it sucks.
No, that wasn't it. No, that was... actually, here it is.
But they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
The story, once we knew and once Tubbs knew what was up about the trip to the island, could have been a solid, strong ending to the Calderones. I mean, if they wanted this to be the end of a Calderones, this episode should have been much bigger than it was. It should have involved all of Vice, taking hostages of Alicia and Sally, you know, go out with the bang. I mean, he did, technically, but this really abysmal episode was. And like you said, you know, you wanted to give it higher because of, you know, what did Alicia die? That was the one exciting part. Tubbs seeing Wolf there, knowing he was set up. That was the other exciting part. Those are the only two things that were exciting that should have been bookended, a whole exciting ending to Calderon. It just didn't do it. It fell flat. And then why is everyone thinking Tubbs killed Esteban? Even he agreed. Was it a lie that was manufactured by Orlando to the Islanders after he found out that Tubbs stooped his sister and had a kid? No, probably that would be plausible. And then why, again, why did Tubbs say that he killed him to Alicia? Or was it Sally? Whatever. Why did he say that? Was he just covering for Crockett? Or was it a mistake in story continuity from the writers? And then all the Islanders here are pretty much like catatonic zombies. And if they didn't like the island life that died, that dried up because of old man Calderon died, why didn't they band together and say, hey, you ain't doing nothing for us. Up yours. You ain't coming here, right? Mm-hmm. Why didn't they do something about it? Now, this was a solid no for me, Tim. Couldn't wait for it to end. Maybe the next Tubbs-centric episode is going to be better.
Right. We'll see. The only thing with him getting in contact with the OCB team, like you said, it would have made him much stronger, but he had no way to do that because I believe, didn't the chief say at the beginning, phones weren't working, yeah. No stuff radio. Like that. The only way he would have been able to do that could have potentially been through the air radio.
Right, exactly.
That would have been, you know, that guy that owned the strip or ran mm-hmm. it or managed it, he would have just tipped everybody off. So, but right. it could have been better.
Right. But again, going back, the only radio was the air one, but then all this time that, you know, life dried up basically when old man Calderon died, why didn't one of the boaters get a radio or, you know, somebody had to have been a rebel on there. You know, and had a illegal radio or had a stash of, well, obviously they had a stash of guns, right? Or someone had a gun.
You would think. And now for some music for this episode, we have We Touch by Laz Netto. And that's when Tubbs and Alicia were having fun on the island.
And the Jan Hamri music featured in this episode was Boat Party. And that's when Tubbs and Alicia arrive at the island of St. Gerard.
And Mark, one goof for this episode, we've mentioned it already, is that throughout the episode, as mentioned, Tubbs killed Orlando's father, Esteban, when it was actually Crockett. Well, this could have been attributed to mistaken identity as far as many of the characters are concerned. Tubbs himself even tells Alicia and Sally that he killed Esteban when he would unequivocally know this is not true.
And the location here, the Danielson Gallery, Biltmore Hotel at 1200 Anastasia Avenue in Coral Gables. That was the opening scene, wedding, and reception. See, I knew it was like some sort of art gallery.
Yes. And another location is the Opa-locka West Airfield in Okeechobee Road at Chrome Avenue in Miami. And that served as the St. Gerard Airstrip.
And the last location here, we have the Sweetfield Baptist Church, 3585 Plaza Street in Coconut Grove. And that was the church that was based in St. Gerard.
All right, let's go over the trivia for this episode. Last episode, we asked, what is obvious about the emergency exit signs in the hospital? They aren't lit. A fire prevention no-no.
Shut the hospital down. And this show's trivia question is, what was Sally Cordova's room number? You could post your answers on this episode's Facebook post, or you can email us at miamivice@duck.com.
We've arrived at Snurd's Chalkboard of Wisdom, where we hope to inspire, enlighten, or make you snicker a little. In both the world of Miami Vice and our current world at large, we encounter many challenges we work to overcome. In the interest of creating a family-friendly atmosphere, through the show and on our social media, we would like to offer some parting thoughts, a simple quote, phrase, or words of encouragement, or funny quip to you, our listeners, because without you, our friends, we'd just be talking ourselves. And we say friends because that's what we consider all of you who follow our show and social media. This episode quote is, trust takes years to build, but only takes a few seconds to destroy. You are the driver of the bus. Be careful who you let be passengers on your bus. Mark Merrill.
And that's a wrap for today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us on this review. We hope you found this episode exciting and entertaining. And if you enjoyed it, can you please subscribe to our podcast and follow us on our social media channels to stay updated on our latest episodes. On Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, we are Vice of Miami Podcast. Your support means everything to us. And if you have a spare moment, we'd be incredibly grateful if you could leave us a rating and review on all those channels, and as well as Apple Podcasts and all your podcast aggregators. So again, thanks for listening, and we can't wait to share more with you soon.
So we'll catch you next time on the Vice of Miami Podcast on Show 66, covering Episode 18, Lend Me an Ear. Now,
beat it, punks.